We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With your hosts, the dynamic duo, Dave Schmollinson and Helen Yee.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmollinson, a.k.a. The Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee Sports.
And we're back. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Absolutely loaded day in sports, loaded weekend in sports. Helen, you competed in swimming this past weekend. It was definitely eventful for both of us.
Yeah, you know, how to show those young cats what's up. You know, even though I'm like a decade older, still got to compete.
First place.
You know, can't settle for second, so how to get first.
Over here locally at the Palo Verde pool, Helen, the older swimmer, up against the young cats and still doing her thing and got big goals, and she's going out and achieving them. Proud of you.
Thank you. Well, meanwhile, I was smelling chlorine and, you know, just swimming some laps. You were at the Canelo weigh-in.
Doing Canelo weigh-in. Yeah. He was fighting Jaime Munguia this past weekend, Cinco de Mayo. Canelo, again, putting on a masterclass. He was tested early on in the fight, but then he just outshined and did what Canelo Alvarez does. Had a sighting of Ryan Garcia amongst all these PED allegations from the Devin Haney fight. And then I checked out the Box Fan Expo, where I got to catch up with some legends. Roy Jones Jr., Lennox Lewis. We'll likely play that Lennox Lewis interview later on in the show. But it was certainly an eventful combat sports weekend. Also, UFC 301 in Rio. The king of Rio, Jose Aldo, who's already been inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. He had one fight left on his contract with the UFC. A vintage, dominant performance, decisive victory against a Jonathan Martinez, a young gun, up-and-coming bantamweight fighter. And Jose Aldo, decisive victory, fighting out his UFC contract.
Yeah. What a way to come back in return, you know, for Jose Aldo. He announced his retirement, and I got kind of emotional, you know, just hearing his walkout music again and watching him walk out. But he looked so amazing.
He certainly did. Vintage performance. And he's certainly one of the greatest of all time when it comes to fighters, whether you have him in your top five, you probably have him in your top 10. If you don't have him in your top five, Jose Aldo, the king of Rio, arguably the greatest featherweight of all time. Max Holloway in that conversation. Volkanovski in that conversation. But vintage performance.
I know. And it was cool because he was like one of the first fighters I've ever watched back in the WEC days. So like when I was a little kid, so I think maybe that's why I was like, wow, it's so cool to, you know, watch him put on such a great performance. And I mean, you mentioned Max Holloway. I know he was in L.A. with Dana White and with Sugar Sean O'Malley at the Tom Brady roast.
The Tom Brady roast was fantastic. One other bit of UFC news I wanted just to say is Corey Sandhagen, who's been on our show, it's booked with him and Umar Nurmagomedov. That fight's been rumored for a long time. That's going to headline August 3rd, UFC Fight Night in Abu Dhabi. But now back to that roast, that Tom Brady roast, that Netflix roast this past weekend. That was phenomenal. That was so entertaining.
I was entertained. But what was crazy is, like, you know, I'm not a huge, like, TV, you know, I don't really like to watch much of that stuff. But I remember growing up and watching Comedy Central and like watching those roasts. And I always got a great laugh because sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but it kind of reminds me of like when I was younger, the family functions, you know, when I was a kid, and like needing to have thick skin, especially getting roasted by my aunts who had like bowl cuts and really short hair. Like they were the rudest. Okay. They'll roast you hard. But yeah, so I had fun watching it. But then like after, you know, I see like online and some people are really sensitive, but it's like, isn't that the point of a roast, to get roasted?
Well, that's what I love. It goes back to what comedy should be. I know we're in this big era of political correctness, and some of the jokes certainly toed the line. I thought Tony Hinchcliffe was so unhinged, but it was hilarious. But there's zero bad intentions here. Andrew Schultz, shout out to him. He had sold out Madison Square Garden, then flew cross country to be a part of this too, back-to-back nights. Andrew Schultz, one of the hardest working comedians. It was so great to see Gronk on stage. Great to see Randy Moss, but Bill Belichick, no job for Bill Belichick in the coaching round, but he's doing great stuff. Watching him on the draft with Pat McAfee, then watching him participate in this roast, that was great. Robert Kraft got involved. Everyone was, you know, having a good time.
They had a toast.
They had it. Oh, that was amazing.
I know.
They both took a shot together.
Shout out to Kevin Hart for trying to make that happen.
Kevin Hart. I almost said Garnett. Kevin Hart made that happen. He brought that
He's
moment.
He's the opposite height of Garnett.
He's then everyone trashed him for his height. And obviously there's so many jokes about lower extremities, that which seems to be a huge theme. That's locker room talk. But what I just love about that was everybody had a good time. Nobody was blocked. Nobody was off limits. And everyone knew what their purpose was there. And look, Kim Kardashian got booed on stage too.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
What was surprising? That she was there?
Well, yeah. I mean, that, A. And then B, I guess like everyone now is like, oh, I can't believe she got booed. But, you know, I don't know how to feel about that.
One bite, everyone knows the rules. Mr. Pizza Man Dave Portnoy was not invited. He's a little salty about that. I can understand. He's a huge Patriots fan, huge Boston guy.
But did you feel bad for Drew Bledsoe, though?
Drew Bledsoe was the best sport there.
I know.
Hands down.
But those jokes, like, you know.
But people forget, too, about Drew Bledsoe. He was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL when he went down with the injury and Tom Brady took over. And it's not like he didn't have opportunities. He went on to Buffalo to be starting quarterback, and then with Bill Parcells in Dallas, and to be replaced when he got injured by Tony Romo. It just seemed to be a theme that traveled with him. But Drew Bledsoe, great NFL quarterback, probably very underrated, and lost his job only due to injury.
Thick skin. But who was your favorite? I mean, because in my opinion, like Tony Hinchcliffe, he stood out. Nikki Glaser, I thought she stole the show.
Those two, you named it right there. She was great, and Tony Hinchcliffe. I just love how Hinchcliffe can work a room. He went around going from person to person, off the cuff, just naming jokes. And it's just how he was able just to stand in front of people and roast them and just move down the line. That takes cojones, and he certainly has those.
I know, and you would not be able to tell whether or not he was nervous or anything. Like, he delivered that flawlessly.
He certainly did. Then moving on to some NBA, there's NBA playoffs last night. The New York Knicks had a thrilling victory against the Pacers. Questionable call with Miles Turner at the end of that game, but I think the refs got it right. Plus, they reviewed it with that blocking call. And it is what it is. Jalen Brunson, four straight games with 40-plus points, joining rare company, joining the Michael Jordans, the Bernard Kings, with four more games with 40-plus points. Jalen Brunson went to my high school, Stevenson High School. Shout out to him. Two national titles with Villanova in 2016 and 2018. Talk about Dante DiVincenzo, his teammates, and Josh Hart, his teammates, in New York. It's just fantastic to see what the Knicks are doing. Like, vintage rivalry with the Pacers and Knicks from the 90s, reliving itself here in 2024. And man, the Minnesota Timberwolves putting a beating on the defending champs,
blowing
Denver Nuggets.
Them out. Yeah. 106-80. Are you shocked by that?
On the road, too. I've been on record. Last show, I said the winner of this series is going to win the NBA championship, and I stick to that. And if the Timberwolves continue down this path, yes, I know OKC, they're going to be playing tonight against the Mavs. Like, those two teams are fantastic, have fantastic players. But I just love what I saw. And, you know, You think about it too. Rudy Gobert didn't even play last night. I mean, the birth of his son, but just the guy stepping up for the Timberwolves, the Jaden McDaniels, the Naz Reid, the sixth man of the year, and just the Nuggets lacking depth. I mean, if you think about what happened from their championship to this year, getting rid of Bruce Bowen, not re-signing Jamichael Green, the Nuggets were punched in the mouth last night, and they lost home court advantage. Jamal Murray throwing his heat pack on the court. He might be suspended for game three. Any schmoment, they might be suspending him, Helen. That could be breaking news throughout the show, but just that was crazy.
So in your honest opinion, do you really think the Nuggets have a chance to kind of come back and win it all?
Of course. I mean, people talk about the best duos in the NBA. As long as they're still champs, as long as you still have Nurkic and Jamal Murray, it doesn't look good. It looks pretty bleak for them, but of course they still have a chance. They're the defending champs. The defending champs. And we're going to get more into NBA as we continue on. We're going to have a special guest joining us on the next block of the segment. Thank you for tuning in. Don't go anywhere. This is the Schmo Zone on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back. We're your hosts, Dave Schmolensen and Helen Yee. Peel back the curtain in the Vegas sports world and beyond.
What's up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. Helen and I were just talking more about these NBA playoffs over break, just how the T-Wolves are spanking the Nuggets, the defending champions going up 2-0 on the road, just how surprising that is with Anthony Edwards being only 22 years old and just emerging as a star in the NBA this postseason.
Yeah, and especially the Michael Jordan comparisons, which I read that he does not like those comparisons.
Yeah, he's being compared to young killers like Jordan and Kobe, but look, his ascension is just clear, and he's not even 23 years old yet. I mean, this is the age of like a college senior, and he's doing this.
But was he someone on your radar?
I mean, he was very athletic coming out of school, coming out early. Georgia. I mean, he was a great basketball player, great prospect. But there's been a lot of great prospects over the past decade or so. But in this NBA, with so many options, with people able to not go to college and just skip it and play overseas or go right to the NBA and having the G League available, there's just so many different paths that players are taking. And there's a lot of guys I thought that would have panned out and become stars. Like, remember how good Ben Simmons was early in his playing career? People aren't talking about him much now. The Brooklyn Nets, he's kind of fallen off. Like Markelle Fultz, I remember a few years back, like they're talking Markelle Fultz in the draft. He was a huge name. De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball, those were the three big point guards. And Markelle Fultz was taken first. What happened?
Yeah, well, I want to ask you, like, what do you think is the key for the longevity and the success, you know, for those players to emerge as superstars or continue?
It's patience and system. Like, even his teammate, Karl-Anthony Towns, like, drafted by Minnesota, he's been there for almost a decade now, and that creeps up on you. Having patience to grow your talent, having trust in the talent, surviving these losing seasons, because all these great teams in the 80s and 90s, like, they've been able to build camaraderie and stick through the thin and the thick together. And I don't think you see that same amount of patience in the modern game. You don't see the same type of teams maintaining the core players and just building around it. And when you have that opportunity, like you're seeing in Minnesota, you'll see opportunities of guys potentially flourishing.
No, you bring up a good point, because there's a lot of times, especially recently, right, with all the super teams, and I don't want to say it was started by LeBron, you know, when he went to Miami to kind of form the big three. But you say how a lot of these teams don't just, you know, have one player and kind of build around them. But a lot of players are kind of moving around trying to just form super teams.
Yeah, I think what I've noticed in this NBA, there's all these great role players that have been able to emerge and step up. Like, if you look even so at what we're seeing out of the Dallas Mavericks, I think they've been able to really showcase great talent by acquisitions of smaller names, like getting the Daniel Gaffords from the state of Washington. Team PJ Washington as well. I'm getting twisted on Washington, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford coming from the
tongue
Washington.
Twister.
Yep, tongue twister, but a lot of these good young smaller acquisitions have helped these teams. Even New York, I brought up earlier before the first break, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, having that trio of Villanova players, adding to Jalen Brunson. And it's just really cool to see all this come to fruition.
Yeah, and looking at the games tonight, I mean, you mentioned earlier we have Mavericks versus Thunder and then Cavaliers versus Celtics. I mean, these are really exciting games for tonight.
I'm very, very excited to see how it goes tonight. Game one of seeing how the semifinal games go. I'm excited just to see how they all transpire. I mean, Boston, Cleveland, Thunder, Mavs. Thunder, Mavs is very, very exciting because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's been a very, very exciting young player to watch. And that team is super young, the Thunder. And then the Mavs, they seem to get things figured out with the duo of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. I expect them to roll in there, but let's just see if this young Thunder team could just withstand punches from those stars. And I think it'll be very intriguing, that chess match. But I do expect Boston. I love Donovan Mitchell, but I do expect Boston with all the firepower they have. And, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and the big man having him, Derek White playing great at the point guard position. Obviously, Jason Tatum is your superstar. I do expect them to do some big things and to take care of business at home tonight, the Boston Celtics, clearly.
So do you still believe that the winner between Timberwolves and Nuggets will win the entire thing?
I certainly do. I certainly think that they will win the whole thing. So that will be great to see. It'll definitely be great to see. And I think one topic that you and I were also discussing was this little debate that happened on the Pat McAfee show from Austin Rivers saying that there could be 30 NBA players that could be in the NFL right now. And then I saw J.J. Watt step right up in there and say, you don't got a job in either right now. Go ahead and try it. And I thought that was pretty fun to see that argument.
Yeah, between basketball players and football players, it is interesting to see because, like, we've seen basketball players and football players transition, like, into golf. Or not golf, baseball. But yeah, what do you think is harder to transition from, like, basketball to football or football to basketball?
Well, I think of it from this standpoint because there's been a lot of great football players that came from college basketball backgrounds. Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham. I remember watching Jimmy Graham play Duke. I was there at Cameron Indoor Stadium when he played for the University of Miami. He was a great basketball player. He reminded me of, like, Blake Griffin out there. They look very similar on the basketball court. Maybe more so Blake Griffin when he's a college player at Oklahoma. Julius Peppers, Tony Gonzalez, even T.O. played college ball. All those guys I just mentioned are Hall of Famers, Hall of Fame-worthy guys. And I just watched T.O. play in a celebrity basketball game at this age, dropping over 30 points. I was there for that. That was really, really cool. And if I think about some of these basketball guys playing the NFL, maybe like a Russell Westbrook playing a running back, maybe catching the ball to the backfield, could play a little receiver that way too. Zion Williamson, that guy is just a mountain. He could probably play on the tackle.
Well, what about someone like Kevin Durant? Can you see him play football?
I think he's a little too small. I think he's too tall. He's a great athlete.
Just not built like...
He's not built enough. LeBron, obviously. Anthony Edwards and Jimmy Butler could be great safeties.
Well, on the flip side, which NFL players can you see playing basketball at a high level?
You know, football players, high level, Drake May. Drake May was playing basketball with his brothers the night before the NFL draft. And I believe he could definitely be someone who transitioned well to that sport. There are certain anomaly guys.
Can you see J.J. Watt?
I don't know if I could see J.J. Watt playing basketball. I'm not sure if he's the guy for that. But I do see his point saying, all right, go ahead and try it, to Austin Rivers. Both those guys aren't currently playing. J.J. Watt, future Hall of Famer, former Defensive Player of the Year. Austin Rivers was a good NBA player, but he wasn't like a star by any means. But he was definitely a good basketball player. He was a good basketball player, so I see the argument for sure.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is a good argument.
For sure. Well, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back on the Schmo Zone.
Now you're back into the Schmo Zone on ESPN Las Vegas.
What's up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmolenson.
And I'm Helen Yee.
Our next guest is 2024 Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famer. He went undrafted out of Tennessee, had a 10-year NBA career, played guard, also played locally here at Bishop Gorman. I love the way that former Bulls player and announcer Stacey King used to broadcast his name, CJ Watson. Welcome to the Schmo Zone.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Sorry about the mix-up a little bit ago. We tried to have you on earlier, but we appreciate you coming on now, CJ.
No, thanks for having me. It's all good.
So let's talk a little NBA. Last night, the Wolves go up 2-0 on the road against the Nuggets. What's the most surprising thing you're seeing out of that series?
Them being up 2-0 and, you know, playing the second game without Rudy Gobert. So I think that was really big to see how they went in. And they won convincingly, and it wasn't really even close. They were up by at least 25, 30 the whole game. So I definitely think, you know, that series is going to be interesting to see if Denver can bounce back. I'm a big believer, you know, you're the champs until you're not the champs anymore. And I think the Wolves have a great chance of beating them, and we'll see what happens.
During that game, point guard Jamal Murray, he threw his heat pack on the court. Do you think he's going to be suspended for game 3?
Who knows, man? You know, cameras catch everything. So, you know, definitely I'm sure something's going to happen. I'm sure the league is already calling and, you know, telling him what he did and that he can't do that no matter how bad the refs are, you know. So you got to just got to be able to hold your composure as a player, you know, and kind of play through that kind of stuff.
Are you more surprised at how the defending champs are playing or how well that the T-Wolves are playing against the defending champs?
I think how well the T-Wolves are playing, because I think this team was definitely, you know, to go up against the Nuggets, especially like in the second round or the Western Conference Finals. So they're long, they're young, they're athletic, they all can shoot, and they're not scared. They're fearful, and they got a superstar in Anthony Edwards too, who believes he's the best player in the league. And I think the rest of the team, you know, knows that also, and they also, you know, just fall in line.
How far away is Anthony Edwards from being the best player in the league right now, if he's not already?
I don't think he's that far off. I mean, I think he's maybe, what, one or two spots maybe? he's not there already, but he's definitely showing, you know, how good he is and how great he can be. And, you know, the future of Anthony Edwards is definitely bright, and I think the league is even brighter because all the young stars right now.
Who would you say is the MVP of the postseason so far? Would you say it's Anthony Edwards or Jalen Brunson?
That's a good question. I think Anthony Edwards, just what he's done so far, just for to sweep the Suns and then to be up right now. But Jalen Brunson is playing well, too. He's carrying the Knicks right now. But I definitely think Anthony Edwards, you know, is the MVP of the postseason right now.
Last night, the Knicks had that thrilling victory over the Pacers. What did you make of the call at the end with the Miles Turner screen? They reviewed it. Are you in favor of that call? Would you have liked to not see it? Are you surprised they even called it? I guess home court in New York. I mean, what's your takeaway from the game?
Yeah, I think in real time, I thought it should have been like a no call. But obviously, you know, looking back at it, kind of it could have went, you know, either way. But you know, that's the kind of calls you get. You just can't put yourself in that position, especially, you know, being down with the time running down and also being on the road. You know, they're going to probably get that call 9 times out of 10. So, you know, just can't put yourself in that position in those spots.
Halliburton's had a great season for the Pacers at guard. They've done great things all year. I mean, what do you think it's going to take for the Pacers to, you know, change the tide of this series and get their head straight and win game 2? Because they were looking really good in game 1, and it really went down to the wire.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, I picked the Pacers to win this series. They just play a much faster up-tempo style. They can't let, you know, the Knicks and Jalen Brunson dictate the style. I think they just got to keep playing their game because, like I said, I think they're right there. I think every team right now can eventually, you know, win the championship between these 8 teams, and the Pacers have a pretty good shot.
Who is your favorite to win the championship right now, though? Is it the Pacers? Is it the Nuggets still, the Timberwolves? Who do you like to win the championship right now?
I still like the Nuggets. I think they'll bounce back somehow. But I think Boston is also up there. But the injury with Porzingis is gonna hurt them a lot to see, you know, when he comes back, if he comes back. Because Boston, you know, is a really good team, you know, from top to bottom. So I definitely think they still got a shot to win.
What do you think it will take for Cleveland to upset them tonight, game one of the semifinals?
They got to make a lot of threes. They got to really control the boards, make a lot of threes, and just limit their turnovers. I definitely think they got to control Jaylen Brown and Tatum. So if they can control those guys, keep them under control, and like I said, win the defensive glass and make some threes, I think they got a good shot at winning on the road.
And then let's go to the West semifinals. What do you think of this matchup tonight between the Thunder and the Mavericks? It's looking like this combination of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, they're really starting to click in this postseason.
Yeah, they're starting to click a lot, man. They're really understanding each other, playing well together, and I think everyone else on their team is playing their roles also. They got that trade during the season helped them a lot, getting Gafford and PJ Washington from the Hornets. So I definitely think that's going to help them out a lot. I definitely think I picked them to win the series. I love Shea, but I definitely think they're just young right now, but I like Dallas and what they're doing.
It's funny you brought up PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. I was speaking about those two guys, that acquisition Dallas had. I think earlier, before you joined the show, I just think that this year it hasn't been about these super teams. It's been about these role players that have been stepping up and coming together, and I think that's been a real big theme of this season so far. I mean, what have you seen that you've noticed in the NBA season so far that really takes to your eye?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think super teams, man, they hardly ever win, you know, because it takes time to build a super team. Can't just throw, you know, some superstars together and think it's going to work out. That rarely ever happens. But definitely, guys, when you have one or two superstars on the team and other guys, you know, can be able to play their roles and be able to excel at their roles and really be confident in their roles, I think definitely that's when you see teams, you know, make big runs and make runs to the championship.
And there's a lot of buzz about Las Vegas getting a NBA team. Obviously, you're from Vegas. You played at Bishop Gorman. We had Spencer Haywood on the show not long ago, and he thinks that we'll be getting a NBA team here very soon. Is that what you think as well, or what are your thoughts on NBA in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it's coming soon. You can just tell by the city and all the entertainment coming here and all the sports teams coming here and all the sports teams that came here, you know, that are here are very successful. So I definitely know the NBA is watching, and they see that there's a big following here in Vegas, and it's the entertainment capital of the world. And I think, you know, once we get a basketball team here, it's just going to cement, you know, our seed in being a sports town, which it already is one, because we have the Aces, we have the Knights and Raiders, and we're getting baseball. So I definitely think, you know, just getting a basketball team would just make it even better.
How did you feel about the NBA play-in season tournament here? Is it something you want to see stay? Did you like that? Breaking up the monotony of the league early on, are you a fan of it long-term?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, man. It made players and the fans more engaged. The players were playing for something. Obviously, you know, they're getting a bigger check, and then also, you know, just winning an in-season tournament was pretty cool. But also, like I said, getting the fans engaged to like an NCAA-style tournament. But, you know, on the NBA level, I definitely think it was pretty cool. And to have it at a different venue, you know, here in Vegas, like I said, it's the entertainment capital of the world. So, you know, why not?
So, CJ, you played for my Chicago Bulls. You know how passionate that fan base is. What do you think it's going to take for that team to kind of get over this hump from just being a NBA playoff, play-in type team and really making a stride? Do you think that this current core can take them over the hump, or they got to shake things up?
They definitely got to shake things up. They got to change the roster. Obviously, you know, Zach LaVine is definitely, you know, isn't happy. so they're probably going to have to probably number one option is getting him somewhere and then getting some assets for him, you know, some trade capital or some players with some youth who can come in and just make an impact.
So speaking of impact, you do a lot for the community here in Las Vegas, the Quiet Storm Foundation, your nonprofit for opportunities to the youth here in the Vegas Valley. You know, what are you most proud of with what you've been able to do with that work here in Vegas?
Just giving back. I grew up here in Vegas, born and raised here, and just grew up in the inner city. And Didn't have a lot of resources, but my parents, you know, obviously found a way to put me in the best situation to be successful. So that's what we just want to do for kids. Like I said, not having a lot of resources, want to give them opportunities and give them things that they may or may not have and want to do in life. And we put on a free basketball camp. We have a Black History Essay contest that we fly kids to D.C. So like I said, a lot of times these kids never really leave their neighborhood. I was fortunate enough to be able to leave my neighborhood and go to different places. So definitely think it's a great thing just to be able to give back and just to see the joy in their faces when they, you know, smile and, you know, to say thank you for the little stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Really good stuff. Undrafted, went to Tennessee, 10-year NBA career. You really made the most out of everything, and you have a great eye for the game, and we really appreciate you joining us here on the Schmo Zone today.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. CJ Watson, ladies and gentlemen.
I love what he's doing to give back to the community. Like, I think that's so cool.
It's fantastic. He's definitely a great guy. He had some big moments for the Chicago Bulls, and me being a Chicago guy prior to being a Vegas guy, I'll always have respect for CJ Watson.
Did you ever watch him play growing up?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I was in college.
Like, in person?
Never in, I'm not trying to remember if I caught a Bulls game in person with watching him. I definitely watched him plenty of times on TV. But what I just love about CJ, he was relentless, always relentless, and didn't matter what the score was, he always played hard. And that's
Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm. That's just what I respect about him. And just being a Vegas guy and giving back to the community, how could you not have respect for somebody like that?
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, he brought up how many sports teams are now here in Vegas, and then hopefully NBA team soon.
That's what we hope for. That's certainly what we hope for. So going back to the beginning of the show, we're talking about what we're doing over the weekend. We're talking a lot about boxing. Yeah. We're talking about how it was the Canelo fight. It was Cinco de Mayo. But there's also this big fight that's going to be taking place in Dallas, Texas in July between the legend Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. They're going to be having a press conference in Dallas and New York next week. I'm going to be attending the press conference in Dallas, but between now and then, I think it's worthwhile to be asking legends of the sport of boxing what their take is with Mike Tyson returning to the ring, who'll be 58 when he takes on Jake Paul. Maybe it makes sense to ask some of his biggest opponents, some of the legends of the sport. And that's why the Schmo, my alter ego, went over the weekend to the Box Fan Expo here at the Las Vegas Convention Center to chase down the one and only Lennox Lewis, the last unified heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox Lewis, what his take was on the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, and some other things he thought about in today's day and age of boxing. So let's play the audio, of the Schmo and the Pro with Lennox Lewis.
This is the Schmo with the Pro, with the former heavyweight champion of the world, the last undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, the pride of Canada, Lennox Lewis in the flesh at the Box Fan Expo. How we doing, man?
Doing good. So many fans I met today, spoke to, shook their hands, took pictures. I loved it. I thought it was great. And I love talking to my fans and being with my fans and taking pictures. So, great day.
What's the craziest thing a fan's ever asked you to sign?
Well, I'm sure you know, definitely their t-shirts, definitely their gloves, and usually their arms sometimes. It depends.
It depends. He's showing you a wink, but talk to the Schmo for a second. Are we ever going to see an undisputed heavyweight champion of boxing again?
Yes, we will. May 18th this year, you're going to see Tyson Fury against Usyk. It's going to be a great fight. Both guys are champions. Both guys are winners. That's why it's going to be a great fight. So I'm looking forward to it.
And one of those guys is going to walk away undisputed.
Two boxers, two good fighters are going to step into the ring. Two undefeated fighters. And then there can only be one champion. So one guy's going to lose. And we're going to see who that is.
We certainly are.
Yeah.
Talk to the Schmo for a second. We thought it'd be an exhibition, but it's going to be a real fight. You know this man well. Mike Tyson, he's fighting Jake Paul. What are your expectations for that big fight in Dallas, Texas?
I think it's going to be a good fight. I mean, you know, Mike Tyson, what he does is two-dimensional. He's going to come at you, trying to knock you out. now you got to try and stay away from him, stay away from his power. I seen him working out the other day, and he throws some good combinations. So those six punch combinations, he has to make sure, I'm talking Jake Paul, make sure that he's not in the way of those punches, because Tyson's a real fighter.
You saw him working out the other day. He's 57 years young. He's still got it. He's still got it in his eyes. He's still got it in the body.
Oh, yeah. No, Tyson can throw a punch. He can take a punch. So, he's doing something that he's used to.
Who would you say right now is the face of boxing, Lennox?
Face of boxing? There's so many faces that you could put out there. Name some names.
Gervonta Tank Davis, absolutely. Devin Haney, absolutely. Ryan Garcia, Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, of course. There's many faces of boxing, as he just said.
You don't want to pick one? You got a favorite?
Yeah, Lennox Lewis. I'm the face of boxing. I'm the face of boxing. No guy tests. I lay them all to rest.
Hey, who's on your Mount Rushmore of greatest heavyweight boxers all time? You can include yourself, obviously.
Yeah, obviously me, George Foreman, Muhammad Ali. There's so many guys out there that definitely belong in the same room as me.
You got one more to name. We heard three.
Three? Jack Johnson.
There it is. Jack Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, there's many more. I mean, I can't think of the many right now, but you name them, I'll tell you. You say yes or no.
What's the go-to fight that you want to see happen in this sport that hasn't been booked yet?
Canelo, David Benavidez. I think that'll be a great fight.
We got to see that fight.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good fight.
Maybe here in Las Vegas at the Sphere.
Hey, I've seen a lot of people coming from the Sphere. It's hard to say Sphere. But it's. I said, how is it? How is it? Is it worth going? They said it's worth going, so I'm going to go.
You're going to check out you two? Who are you going to see play there?
Whoever. Like, whatever it is, it's going to be good because it's going to be all around you. Surround sound. Any surround sound. Like, I spoke to a lady. She said, we were sitting right beside a giraffe and we could hear it go past. It was like right here. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to hear.
There it is. Can we get a final message for all the Lennox Lewis fans out there worldwide?
For all the Lennox Lewis fans, I'd just like to say thank my fans. I appreciate you. Just like how you love me, I love you. So stay blessed.
He's the pro. I'm the schmo. Las Vegas Box Fan Expo. We're out.
Great interview, Dave. I mean, the schmo. That was a great interview with the legend. I know there's almost, I think, like close to 500,000 views on your YouTube channel, the Schmo312. And a lot of people are commenting on the size of his hands. So did you kind of get a close-up on how big his hands were?
Humongous. And a lot of people, because he cut his hair, were thinking that was Bernard Hopkins, too, initially, as well. Another great legendary boxer. But for everyone who's just wondering, like, why is he talking like that? Or what is that crazy voice? If you're not familiar with the Schmo was my way into getting into sports media to unalarm these legends of the sport, to showcase their personality, to get them to ask all these questions, because I really keep them off kilter with this character I created to get the best out of them. And he answered some really hard-hitting questions there, Helen.
I know. The answers were amazing. And I think in the beginning of the show, we were talking about like the Tom Brady roast and the comedian. So I know the Schmo character mixes like the sports side and the comedic side, right? Because weren't you inspired by a few comedians growing up?
The John Belushis, the Chris Farleys, the Mike Myers, and then obviously from the sports side, the Craig Sagers, the way he dressed and stuff of that nature. But everything with the Schmo character is self-deprecating, so I can always make fun of myself or have other people make fun of the Schmo, but never the athlete or the pro, just to keep them at ease so I could ask them good questions. And I felt like I got some great questions, getting his Mount Rushmore, getting the real nitty-gritty of what it was like for him to watch Mike Tyson.
How cool
at 57, his former opponent? That was crazy.
I know. Great stuff.
I can't wait for that fight. And look, I've been to a lot of these Jake Paul boxing matches, and people say, oh, it's rigged or it's this or that. They're not rigged. It's the real deal. And I can't wait to see these two fight, because it's not an exhibition when they fight in Jerry Stadium in July. It's going to be a real fight. Someone's likely going to get knocked out. And let's see how it all plays out, Helen.
I know we'll be there. But you're going to be there at their face-off next week, their first presser and face-off.
So they're going to be meeting early next week in New York, I believe Monday or Tuesday. We have our show. I don't want to leave Vegas. But then they're going to Texas where they're going to actually have this fight in July. And I'm going to go to that. So I'll fly out to that.
I'm so sad because I won't be able to make it because next weekend's one of my last like big swim competitions for this the 2024 Olympic year run. So
it sounds like next week it's going to be pretty hectic for me because I'm going to be there for your swim meet and I'm going to be in Texas. And there's a chance I might also go to Kansas City for this Travis Kelce Music Festival thing as well. So it might be really busy next weekend, but we'll talk about that more for next show. Wow. If that happens. We're still working behind the scenes to make it all happen. Though. Certainly is. Some other fight news. You know, I'm really curious to see what happens with UFC 302. We were talking earlier in the show about UFC 301 and Jose Aldo and Rio. But in New Jersey, UFC 302, you have Dustin the Diamond Poirier, one of the most popular UFC fighters out there, fighting Islam Makhachev for the UFC lightweight strap. And this will be Dustin's second opportunity, maybe his last opportunity at fighting for gold. I'm excited for that one, too.
Me, too. And I saw somewhere where he said that this will be the first time his daughter is going to be kind of front and center, you know, front row to watch him. And I mean, not saying like it brings added pressure, but probably like motivation, extra motivation for him.
When you're nicknamed the Diamond, diamonds are created by pressure. Diamonds are all about pressure. Dustin Poirier fights the who's who, never skips the hardest challenge. He's a Hall of Famer. I love that. I love that he's going to have his daughter cage side front row and she's going to watch him. It could be his final fight. Maybe not his final fight. One of his final fights, potentially. But I'm excited for the opportunity because obviously when he fought for the belt and lost to Khabib, the person who's holding the title now is Islam Makhachev, the protege of Khabib Nurmagomedov. So that Dagestan wrestling, that Dagestan dominance in this lightweight division, can Dustin Poirier dethrone it and end a Hall of Fame career on top? That's a great storyline in itself.
I know. And I also feel like I've been watching Dustin fight for a very, very long time.
Certainly have. And speaking of guys fighting for a long time, one of his former opponents, Conor McGregor, obviously he's going to be fighting, headlining UFC 303 International Fight Week. He, over the weekend, was roasting Sugar Sean O'Malley, the Bantamweight champion, and Ryan Garcia, blasting them. And Sean O'Malley, who we have a great relationship, has had nothing but respect for Conor McGregor.
I was kind of surprised. I was like, turned on him. Maybe Sean was a bit surprised, too, because, like, every time, you know, we go to O'Malley's house, and, like, he's always been so respectful, you know, whenever anybody talks about Conor. And, yeah, he, like, really looked up to Conor.
Yeah, and I guess Conor, you know, he in a sense deleted tweet, or do we call them tweets still? Or are they X's, whatever you call them? Just, you know, just harping on him, calling him a cheat, just like Ryan Garcia, just out of bounds type stuff that wasn't necessary, and that's why probably he deleted it. But no need to really start that type of feud. But, you know, Conor McGregor, obviously the face of UFC, the face of MMA. Didn't need to do that.
No, that really came out of left field. But I know, actually, speaking of Conor's ex or Twitter or something, he did repost something where the schmo, like your alter ego, did a face-off with Merab and the fake Sean O'Malley.
Man, I almost forgot that that was since our last show. Wow, we did a face-off at the Sphere where they will host a UFC fight, Mexican Independence Day in September. Maybe it's Sean O'Malley versus Merab Dvalishvili, but the schmo, my alter ego, helped push that fight with Merab. He's got this doppelganger, someone that looks just like Sean O'Malley, a buddy of his that trains in California. He comes out to Vegas. He draws these fake tattoos, puts on the wig, and he's skinny and tallish like Sean O'Malley. And we did that fun face-off, and that's got a lot of traction.
I know, and Conor said quote, ha ha ha, sold. This fight is definitely on my September Sphere card.
Okay, well, that's why you'll never hear the schmo say anything negative about Conor McGregor. We appreciate you, Conor McGregor. Thanks for acknowledging that. That was a fun thing. And we know Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley wants that fight too. Maybe he wants it the Sphere. Maybe he doesn't. I'm sure he wouldn't mind wherever he takes the fight as long as he's headlining. But I know Sean O'Malley's a fan of that too.
Yeah. And I love being here in Vegas because I can't wait to watch the fights at the Sphere. We have yet to even go experience the inside of the Sphere.
Yeah, I mean, just like how we heard earlier Lennox Lewis talk about, someone told him about what it was like watching a show, just like the live nature of the Sphere.
The giraffe?
The giraffes. I asked him about YouTube, and I think it's a nature show, a live experience. We need to go to the Sphere, Helen. That's what we need to do. We need to experience the Sphere.
You're right. The inside.
The inside, not just the outside.
Yeah, because we saw the outside, you know, when you guys are doing your face-off.
The face-off. This city's got so many great attractions, so many great things to do, so many fights to be made here at this city. And who knows, maybe Canelo Alvarez and David Benavidez will be at the Sphere afterwards as well.
So stay tuned for what we're up to. You can follow me at Helen Eve Sports. Follow Dave at the Schmo 312, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
The Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio. We are out.